Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we are talking about X. What is X, you may ask? Well, X would be a potential new holding company for all of Elon Musk's ventures. Now, by no means is this anywhere close to being imminent. This is just Elon saying it could be a good idea on Twitter, but I think it warrants further discussion, so we're going to do that here, and we do have a couple other stories to go through as well. First, let's check on the stock price though. Tesla today finishing up about 0.9%, closing at $645.98. That compared to the NASDAQ, down 0.3%. Volume today was pretty low, about 32 million shares traded hands. That'd be the second lowest since the S&P 500 inclusion announcement, more similar to the volume that we had been seeing pre-announcement. The other quick note I have on the stock, yesterday I mentioned that we still had an imbalance of shares at the closing cross on Friday. One of our really great listeners, Frank Peelan, pointed out to me that I was actually misunderstanding that. I know other people have had questions on that too, so I wanted to walk through that correction today. So I just took a screenshot of the closing cross information from our live stream on Friday. You can see here the time is 15:59:59. That's 1 second before market close. So this is sort of the last bid and ask before the closing cross happens. And you can see here the imbalance shares are 12.5 million shares. Remember though, that imbalance then changes once we are at close. So if we look at the NASDAQ trader FAQ here, they say that imbalance shares are, quote, the number of opening or closing shares that would remain unexecuted at the current reference price, end quote. That reference price part is the critical detail. The NASDAQ says that is, quote, a price within the NASDAQ inside at which paired shares are maximized, the imbalance is minimized, and the distance from the bid ask midpoint is minimized in that order, end quote. So if we go back to our screenshot then, we can see that the reference price at close or 1 second before close was actually $661.96. So what the screenshot is telling us then is that that 12.5 million share imbalance, that is based on that reference price of $661, not the actual closing price of $695. I don't believe we have any way of knowing the imbalance after that close happens. If somebody knows more on that, let me know. But I think that imbalance is what really causes the price to go then from that reference price to the closing price that we saw of $695 to help minimize that imbalance with the closing cross trade. So when that closing cross happened at a much higher price, that may have reduced or even completely eliminated that imbalance. All right, so with that out of the way, let's talk about X. This is coming from a Dave Lee tweet. Most of you remember he was on the channel about a week and a half ago. Late last night, he tweeted, quote, I propose Elon Musk to form a holding company called X. X's mission is to ensure human survival and progress. X becomes parent company of Tesla, SpaceX, Neuralink, and Boring Company. Elon, what do you think? End quote. Earlier today, Elon then replied, good idea. So certainly not the first time we've heard suggestions like this. Elon Musk, you know, draws some comparisons at times to Tony Stark in Iron Man. Elon actually even appeared in one of those films. And of course, Tony Stark has Stark Industries, so therefore, maybe Elon Musk should have Musk Industries. As for the name X, definitely a bit cooler than Musk Industries, I think. And that hails back to Elon's sort of second big business, X.com, which would later merge with Confinity and eventually become PayPal. Back in 2017, Elon Musk actually reacquired that domain, saying, quote, thanks PayPal for allowing me to buy back x.com. No plans right now, but it has great sentimental value to me, end quote. All right, well, if this ever were to happen, at least the domain is out of the way. That's always nice to have. So how would something like this even work? Well, we do have a couple examples of this. I think probably the most similar company to this would be either like General Electric or Alphabet now, formerly Google, which at the time of the change, back in 2015, Alphabet described in a blog post saying, quote, what is Alphabet? Alphabet is mostly a collection of companies, the largest of which, of course, is Google. This newer Google is a bit slimmed down, with the companies that are pretty far afield of our main internet products contained in Alphabet instead. What do we mean by far afield? Good examples are our health efforts, life sciences, and Calico. Fundamentally, we believe this allows us more management scale, as we can run things independently that aren't very related. Alphabet is about business prospering through strong leaders and independence. In general, our model is to have a strong CEO who runs each business with Sergey and me, Larry Page, in service to them as needed. We will rigorously handle capital allocation and work to make sure each business is executing well. We'll also make sure we have a great CEO for each business and will determine their compensation. In addition, with this new structure, we plan to implement segment reporting for our Q4 results, where Google financials will be provided separately than those for the rest of the Alphabet business as a whole, end quote. So out of that, there's a few things they're focusing on there: management scale, organizational structure, capital allocation, and independent operations. A couple things that are not mentioned in that blog post is it may improve Google/Alphabet's ability to defend themselves from antitrust cases, If they have these businesses that are contained in a conglomerate that are operating independently, there could be less of a case against them for doing things like manipulating search results to benefit their own businesses, for example. And then lastly, Investopedia points out that, quote, less obvious was the consolidation of power to be held by the two founders versus the shareholders. The new entity was to be structured in a way that Page and Sergey Brin hold the majority of the voting rights without the majority of the stock. This was done in order to prevent the company from drifting away from its vision due to pressure from investors to perform financially, end quote. All right, so we've got quite a few things there that could make a conglomerate make sense. So let's kind of work through them in reverse order, starting with that last one, consolidation of power. Obviously, that could be something that could be appealing to Elon Musk. Of course, he already has huge percentage ownerships in each of these businesses individually, but there are a ton of different ways a parent company could be structured, and I would have to imagine that a few of those would allow Musk to have even more control, or if not more control, at least ensure the longevity of that control. It would also allow a little bit more flexibility for Musk as he finds leaders within his organizations that are capable of taking on more control. Musk, for decades to come, continues to sit on top of that parent company, but there could be sub-CEOs for the individual business lines. So that kind of gets to the point on management scale, it gets to the point on organizational structure, and then really that brings us into capital allocation. And this is probably the primary reason I could see something like this really making sense for Elon Musk. I mean, what has he said he wants to do? He wants to take his profits from Tesla to help make a civilization on Mars. If he wants to do that, it's very capital inefficient for him to try to sell out of his stake or borrow against his stake in Tesla to fund that versus just having it in a parent company where they could actually use some of Tesla's balance sheet directly to fund some of that stuff. From Musk's perspective, it seems to make complete sense to want to do that. The question then becomes, okay, does it make sense for other shareholders? That's a big conversation in and of itself, and we'll come back to that one, but let's finish out these reasons here. One was independent operations. Obviously, in the case of Musk's companies, those are already operating independently, so that would not be a benefit like it would be for Alphabet. You'd actually be looking for more closely linked operations in a parent company here, whether that would be through recruitment, more flexibility of moving talent around within the various organizations, perhaps greater collaboration on different projects. We know Tesla and SpaceX already do quite a bit of that currently. So you'd really be looking to simplify and better capture the synergies that may exist across these various organizations. The other one there was antitrust. I don't think that's going to be particularly important for Tesla, the automotive market. Even if Tesla does capture massive share, even if they do deliver 20 million vehicles per year, they're still only going to have 25% share. I think the antitrust concerns would potentially come into play if Tesla is the only autonomous vehicle network provider. But even if it is a monopoly type of situation, there's nothing wrong with monopolies legally. The only thing wrong with monopolies is if you're exploiting them. And I just don't think that tends to be in Tesla's nature. So maybe they would face some criticism or something like that. But legally, I don't really see that becoming too much of a concern. And again, since these businesses all kind of operate independently already, by bringing them all together, you're really just bringing more merit to an antitrust case, I think. So all things considered, there are quite a few benefits that could be potentially attained. We'll go through a little bit of the cons as well. But on one hand, you actually have Tesla having already done something like this with the acquisition of SolarCity. And a lot of these reasons applied under that circumstance, especially the shared balance sheet and capital allocation. About that acquisition, in Elon Musk's master plan, part 2, he wrote that the intent was to, quote, create a smoothly integrated and beautiful solar roof with battery product that just works, empowering the individual as their own utility, and then scale that throughout the world. One ordering experience, one installation, one service contact, one phone app. We can't do this well if Tesla and SolarCity are different companies, which is why we need to combine and break down the barriers inherent to being separate companies. That they are separate at all, despite similar origins and pursuit of the same overarching goal of sustainable energy, is largely an accident of history. Now that Tesla is ready to scale Powerwall and SolarCity is ready to provide highly differentiated solar, the time has come to bring them together, end quote. So he's mentioning the synergies there. And then of course, as we've talked about in the past, SolarCity was facing a bit of a crisis of confidence. Their liquidity was drying up, and bringing it under the Tesla umbrella allowed Tesla to fund it instead. On the other hand, when we look at SpaceX, you have Gwynne Shotwell, COO, saying that they could spin Starlink out and IPO it separately from SpaceX. Then you have Musk saying on Twitter back in September, quote, we will probably IPO Starlink, but only several years in the future when revenue growth is smooth and predictable. Public market does not like erratic cash flow. Haha, end quote. As for SpaceX itself, Musk back in 2013 said that there were no near-term plans to IPO SpaceX, that it would only be possible, quote, in very long term when Mars Colonial Transporter is flying regularly, end quote. He has reiterated that point numerous times since. So when we think about the benefit of Starlink being spun out into its own business, that should highlight that there are negatives to a conglomerate. Those early stage businesses are going to suppress the financial results of the parent company. That could actually suppress the valuation you might receive versus having separate entities. And part of the reason for that is that you do not have a delineation for investors to decide which aspect of the company they want to invest in. Without that, they may just decide not to invest at all. This brings us back to the earlier point on, yes, this may be something that would be really good, really beneficial for Elon Musk, but do other shareholders want this? Of course, many Tesla shareholders would really, really love to be invested in SpaceX, in the Boring Company, in Neuralink, but do they really want to, in 10 years from now, share their cash flow, share their profitability to fund those ventures? For many, the answer is a very, very clear and resounding yes, but for some, the answer may be no. And then you also have to consider if the current investors in SpaceX, Boring Company, Neuralink would want to be in a parent company like this in the first place. In the current environment we're in, capital is relatively easy to attain even in the private markets, and that diminishes one of the biggest benefits a parent company would have for these non-Tesla companies. Are shareholders in these companies, which could individually, I mean, you could probably make an argument that all of them could eventually become trillion-dollar companies. Maybe the Boring Company not so much, but SpaceX, Neuralink certainly have that potential, and I'm sure we'll see some comments today arguing for the Boring Company as well, but are those investors really going to be okay with some sort of merger that would effectively be swapping their stock in this individual company for a share in this larger company that potentially, because of the size of the larger company, has less upside? Personally, I don't think so. I mean, even if you get a 100%, 200% premium on the current valuation, I don't think a lot of investors are going to be super happy with that, even if they still have, you know, 10x upside in the new parent company. So it's a really tricky situation. I think there are a lot of good arguments on both sides. And I think every individual probably falls somewhere on a spectrum in terms of whether they would prefer it or not. So I would love to hear people's thoughts in the comments today. Personally, for me, approaching things primarily as a Tesla investor, I would probably be more towards the prefer side of the spectrum, but definitely still would need to think about it. But for me, I do have a very long time horizon for my Tesla investment. I don't care if that becomes even longer with the addition of SpaceX, the addition of Neuralink, with the addition of Boring Company, with whatever else Musk comes up with. So I wouldn't mind what I expect to be Tesla's very abundant resources in the future going to help fund these other growth ideas. And I think if they were to all merge today, and even if there were premium valuations paid in terms of Tesla stock versus these other companies' stock, I still think those other companies are probably more undervalued than Tesla, especially Neuralink, because that is so early stage, it would carry a relatively low valuation right now, but potentially could be the biggest of them all someday. If I were a Neuralink investor, though, I would definitely not want this to happen. I'm not sure exactly what their valuation is, but PitchBook last year estimated it to be around $500 million. I'm also not sure what Musk's stake is. It might not even matter what other investors think. But even if under some merger scenario, it carried a nominal value 10 times that, $5 billion, well, you've got a 10x there, and then the parent company, that would have to 10x again to get you to 100x, versus 100x on its own would just be a $50 billion market cap. Even if it was half diluted, still a $100 billion market cap. If Neuralink is successful, well, they're definitely going to get that market cap, and I think they could even get 1,000x or more. And that's just never going to happen if it gets folded into a parent company that carries a valuation of, let's say, $800 billion to $1 trillion. Maybe at best, that, you know, 20x is way, way down the road, maybe more, but you're diminishing your upside, and people that are invested in early stage companies like Neuralink are not super interested in diminishing their upside. Maybe wasted words though, if Musk does own enough of the company, he could just make that decision and it might not matter. So again, let me know in the comments if you would be for or against this. Let me know a little bit of the reasoning behind that and try to approach it again from not just a Tesla investor perspective, but from a feasibility perspective on if you see this ever actually happening. All right, let's move on to the next topic here, and that is some very important and interesting news on solar. So over the last couple of days, the United States Congress has passed a COVID relief stimulus package, and as a part of that package, the U.S. Solar Federal Investment Tax Credit would be extended. For residential solar in 2020, that was a 26% tax credit set to phase out to 22% in 2021 and then 0% in 2022. So under the stimulus package, that phase out would be effectively extended 2 years, so the 26% residential credit would run through the end of 2022 and then phase down to 22% through 2023 and then 0% in 2024. Although the stimulus package has passed Congress, President Trump has not yet signed it. He has also not vetoed it, but he is looking for Congress to increase the stimulus check as a part of this package up from $600 per person to $2,000. As that is still unfolding, we'll have to keep an eye on it, but if this were to eventually be passed, should be a pretty big win for Tesla Solar, which appears to be, hopefully, at an inflection point over these next couple of years. On Tesla's last earnings call, Q3, Elon Musk was very excited about the Solar Roof, saying, quote, "Solar Roof is a killer product. This will become obvious next year," end quote. We've also seen Tesla dramatically lower the price of their rooftop solar panels this year, and Q3's 57 megawatts of solar deployed was up 33% year over year, and the best in at least 5 quarters. I didn't go back any further than that. That's just what's on Tesla's quarterly report. So speaking of the SolarCity acquisition, since that has happened, solar has been, I would say, pretty dormant for Tesla, but I do expect that to return to pretty significant growth over the next couple of years. So this extension, if it does happen, would be spanning some pretty significant years here as Tesla tries to get that solar business to a new level of scale. All right, that is a wrap for today then. As I said yesterday, I will be off through the end of the week and TBD on next week's schedule. But before I go, I just want to wish everybody an extremely happy holiday season. Stay safe out there, stay healthy, and I'll see you again after the holidays next week at some point, hopefully as a brand new Tesla owner. Again, for scheduling updates, you can follow me on Twitter @TeslaPodcast. But until next time, thank you.